ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 15th chapter, text number 8. Chapter entitled Narada and Angira Instruct King Chitraketu. Deha, Dehi, Vibhago, Yam, Aviveka, Krita, Pura, Jati, Vyakti, Vibhago, Yam, Yata, Vashtuni, Kalpita, Deha Dehi, Vibhago, Yam, Aviveka Kritakpura Jati Vyakti Vibhaga Yam Yatha Vashtuni Kalpataha Deha of this body, Dehi and the proprietor of the body, Vibhagaha the division, Ayam this. Aviveka, from ignorance. Krita, made. Pura, from time immemorial. Jati, of the class or caste. Vyakti, and the individual. Vibhaga, division. Ayam, this. Yata, just as. Vastuni, in the original object, Kalpitaha, imagined. Translation. Divisions of generalization and specification, such as nationality and individuality, are the imaginations of persons who are not advanced in knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Actually, there are two energies, material and spiritual. Both of them are ever existing because they are emanations from the eternal truth, the Supreme Lord. Because the individual soul, the individual living entity, has desired to act in forgetfulness of his original identity since time immemorial, he is accepting different positions in material bodies and being designated according to many divisions of nationality, community, society, species, and so on. Translation again. Divisions of generalization and specification, such as nationality and individuality, are the imaginations of persons who are not advanced in knowledge. Om Agyanata Manda Shaganajana Shalataya Chakshara Amlita Mina Tasmai Shri Guruvena Maha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Bangayate Gram Yakripata Maham Bande Shri Guruvandina Tarnam. That occasionally Srila Prabhupada gives a very abbreviated purport when the meaning of the translation is clear. There's no real necessity for elaboration. Anyone coming to Krishna consciousness has already surpassed this neophyte level of understanding that he considers himself to be identified with this body, or with the origin of this body, the mother, the father, or the country, or the caste, or any other division. Kiba Vipra. We don't think in those terms. We only think that I am the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His faithful servant, my eternal spiritual master. Those two identities keep one safe in Krishna consciousness. As soon as one's imagination begins to wander and someone is thinking, oh, I am temple president, I am sankirtan leader, I am sannyasi, anything. Sarva Padivinir Muktam, Tat Paratwena Nirmalam. These are all unwanted things, unwanted designations. And they are actually hindrance on the path to spiritual life. Because along with all these designations come some activities. So if one is thinking, I'm grihastha, and immediately he's thinking, oh, I have to make money. I have to do so many things in order to support my family, in order to expand my influence, in order to secure my future, my so-called future. The future for people with this mentality is very dim, actually. They just don't know it. In Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada was lecturing extensively on Srimad Bhagavatam's 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj. And one verse there, Prabhupada elaborates, in the shloka, this word vanik is there. Everyone knows in India, anyway, what is vanik. You know, baniya, mercantile. Another division. In this shloka, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining that because Lord Sugadev wants to offer him some benediction. And he's refusing. Not in some impudent way, but from his position as to give the example to us, because he is eternal, Mahabhagwat. Prabhupada said, 5-year-old boy from the womb, how he is Mahabhagwat, how he is eternal in this regard. But he said that this, I'm not having any mercantile relationship with you. I do something for you, you do something for me. So this is the imagining condition that we think, oh, if I do my service, even devotees occasionally, they're thinking in this way, I must do my service very nicely and then I will get some result. But the only result that we want is more service. Prabhupada said Krishna is only shorter to the gopis. This is his way of saying that Krishna was only indebted to the gopis, that he could not repay their service. But for us, there is no question. Prabhupada said this debt can never be repaid. Unless, of course, one is thinking now he's a gopi. That happens sometimes. You see them in Vrindavan quite frequently. This sahaja mentality. And this is just another imagination. And this whole chapter, the Angira and Narad Muni instructing King Chitraketu, is just to, exemplify all of these imaginary relationships. Son, wife, daughter, any relationship that you can think of. Prabhupada wrote very nicely in this small booklet that's here, Vrindavan Bhajan, that I'm sitting here alone, thinking, where are my family members? But Prabhupada was not really lamenting. But he was taking us through the stages of how one accepts this renunciation in a careful, measured way, not in some haphazard rush that, no, I will take sannyas. Prabhupada used to complain, everyone is coming to me to take sannyas for some minor issues with family members. You know? But Prabhupada didn't do that. He acknowledged that, yes, there was trial and tribulation. And he addresses the Lord as Hari, one who takes away, because he did. He saw that when he became penniless, he had no friends and no family. So Krishna made it very easy. So for us coming to spiritual life, we should not be trying to make additional anarthas that will simply, how can you say, make the extraction from family life that much more difficult. Of course, Prabhupada also said in Mayapur, you should remain brahmachari. At that year in 1976, all Radha Damodar buses, everyone knows Radha Damodar traveling Sankirtan party, all devotees were there. Very big festival. So when Prabhupada said that, yes, you should just remain simple, remain brahmachari, a whole assembly erupted, because all brahmacharis, everyone saying jai, jai. But difficult in Kali Yuga. Only a few great souls can do it, who have developed the right association and attitude. Brahmachari is strong by his association. So if he's associating with his guy brothers or Tushanti Cha, Ramanti Cha, and they're engaging in this transcendental exchanges, then there will be no lamentation or hankering. What I don't have, what I'm missing, what I think I should have, what other people have. He won't experience this. But if there's any gap, then Maya will find a way. Oh, just see that grahasta, he has a nice scooty. He has nice flat. I can get these things also. So that is Maya. The brahmachari is menial servant. We were all brahmacharis. In the old days, we were brahmacharis for many years mostly. When I joined, many of my guy brothers remained brahmachari because the association at that time was strong. That's an indication of the strength of the society, actually. That there should be maximum brahmacharis. My guy brother Kormarupa, we came to India together many times, and when we came, at one point, we came back from, I was brahmachari at that time for 8 years. So Kormarupa used to always tell the story to everyone to sort of embarrass me. Because he remembers we were living together, we were roommates. He said, I remember when you came back last time and you said, and we used to dye our cloth with rock dye. And he remembers that I told him, this will be the last time I'm dyeing my cloth. I'm going to become a grahasta. So he would always remind me. But that's godbrotherly. That's friendly, a little pokey. But we served here in Vrindavan for many years, and after I left, he also continued to serve. And he was very strong, and he was very satisfied in his service to Srila Prabhupada. So this is not a secret, it's an open secret. If one is engaged fully in his service, Vyavasayamika buddhi ekeha kurunanda. If he has that one pointed attention, that determination, then he has no time to think about other things that I will have to do this, I will have to get wife, I will have to get car. No, these are all nonsense things. Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavita bhagatisha kamya. This is our preliminary teaching. When I was in charge of Bhakta program in New York City, many, many devotees joined at that time. And the temple, New York temple, was on 55th Street. Big temple. Prabhupada used to call it his skyscraper temple. It wasn't that big, 11 stories. But he was very happy. He had always wanted. And the preaching was, from that place, amazing. We had the Vaikuntha players, all the old devotees, Mother Janava, and Lohitaksha, Mother Rasagya, Satarupa, Sudama, Nandakishore. And we used to take these plays out onto the streets also and do street theater. Also from our Henry Street, where I joined, we used to do, and I used to see the devotees in Times Square. And they would put on these amazing, now they call it like guerrilla theater, just impromptu. You're walking down Broadway in New York City, and all of a sudden there's this troupe. And some of it, Mother Rasagya was so convincing. She was such a good actress. And she would start to scream and swoon, "Help, help, my husband." And all the people around are looking, what's going on? And they would do the drowning man skit. They would do many. But hundreds or thousands of people would just gather around and watch the devotees expertly perform. And their purport was so clear. So preaching in Manhattan, in New York City, Prabhupada said New York City is the most famous city in the world, and Fifth Avenue is the most famous street. So he was very happy to be there in that regard. I hope everyone gets an opportunity to go and preach in New York City at some time and experience that. With the permission of the temple president, of course. But you will see all of Srila Prabhupada's pastime places. New York City is just like, in that sense, Vrindavan, because everywhere you go, you'd remember Srila Prabhupada. Just like in Vrindavan, everywhere you go, you remember Krishna. So for someone like me who doesn't know Krishna, I like to be in New York, where I can always remember Srila Prabhupada. So but here we see this, coming back to this very nice shloka. First instruction, I am not this body. So somehow or other we have to become free. This brotherhood in unity is not just some buzzword. If someone is thinking that I am American, if someone is thinking I am Indian, if someone is thinking whatever he's thinking, red, white, purple, it doesn't matter. These are all illusory imaginations. And they can only serve to divide. And that's what it says here. Division. Famous American president once said, a house divided cannot stand. Abraham Lincoln. A house divided cannot stand. So we cannot have two ISKCONs. Cannot have Western ISKCON and Eastern ISKCON and Northern ISKCON and Southern ISKCON. No, this is Prabhupada's ISKCON. Someone is thinking something else, then there, you can understand that they're not just in Maya, but they are Kali Chela. Otherwise, why did Srila Prabhupada elaborate? Not just Srila Prabhupada, he's simply repeating the words of the predecessor acharyas, that this movement can only be destroyed from within. But what does that mean? It means by division. This is what it means. A house divided cannot stand. So this unity is very important. As one matures in Krishna consciousness, he has to hold on to that principle of unity. We are one family. Otherwise, there is danger. Someone is thinking, oh, this is, these are different devotees. They are not my God brothers. This is also a little bit of a danger. If one is thinking, I am this disciple of this person, or I'm the disciple of this person, that is all right. But first consideration is that I am a disciple of this transcendental movement, which Prabhupada declared to be an incarnation of Krishna. He declared that ISKCON is an incarnation of Krishna. So others may come and go, but ISKCON will remain if we want, if we are determined. Without determination, this movement will fade. Some people will say it has already faded. You know, we hear this a lot. People say, where are the Hare Krishnas? They've retreated into their buildings. In Mayapur, they have a term. Room to office, office to room. Has anyone heard that? Room to office, office to room. Everyone is doing some clerical work. Clerical work is necessary, but it must be in support of the Sankirtan movement. This is the Sankirtan movement. Anything else is simply imagination. Prabhupada was running this whole movement simply with a few devotees. Even when I joined in 1974, this was a big movement at that time, not less than 108 temples. And we were at strength at that time, 5,000, minimum 5,000 initiated disciples, which doesn't seem like many. Now we have tens of thousands. But our presence was felt globally. Great impact. Why? Through the distribution of Srila Prabhupada's books. So this is the unifying factor. We are not a temple-based movement. Temples are only to allow those who have read the books someplace to come and associate with the devotees and to render service. One time here in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was looking. He was very keen on maintenance. Mother Devi Shakti knows very well. Prabhupada said that whatever money you get, you're thinking, let us eat. Everything here and there broken. He said, you are thinking that the spiritual master, this rascal spiritual master, has given us such a burden. So whatever is there, we have to maintain. He said, otherwise it will become a big go-down. A go-down is typically known as some dirty place. But it should be cleaned by the devotees. Then there is a certain type of energy which is infused. Sometimes we're dependent too much on hired labor. But this is not the system that was initiated by Srila Prabhupada. Only devotees cleaned everything. We didn't have people in America. We had this 11-story building was 100,000 square feet. That may not seem like much. 11 stories, two sub-basements, restaurant in the basement. Every floor had to be washed, which means mopping, and in the evening time, waxed. And the devotees, we would shift schedules, and we would alternate, and we would stay up all night long. I was temple commander at that time. We'd stay up all night long to clean the temple to be ready for the guests the next day. Not just the guests, also the devotees. The devotees are also our guests. We don't treat each other separately. These are my prabhus. The guests are the guests of my spiritual master. Everything has to be just nice. So we cleaned everything at night. And from that we felt great pleasure. There was no imposition. Chaita, Darpana, Marjanam. Prabhupada told us, when you wash these pots, you are cleansing your heart. And we had very big pots, because we used to cook big. New York was famous for prasadam distribution, as was every temple in America at the time. So the idea is not to be idle in any circumstance. That once we understand this basic, that I'm a servant of Krishna, I am a servant of my spiritual master. What is my duty? My duty is to serve all day long. Should be continuously. It shouldn't be that, let me try to escape and get some free time. This free time belongs to Maya. She is just waiting for you to think that, oh, I have some, this is my time. I have nothing. There's no my time. It is all Krishna's time. Otherwise, we're stealing. We're thieves. What will we get by this stealing? Anyway, it happens sometimes that someone, for whatever reason, becomes a little discouraged. Things are not going quite his way. This is why Sankirtan Yagya is so important. Anyone who has ever done Sankirtan, he understands this very clearly. Because as you're approaching 100 people, two are taking a book, or one, sometimes none. But you don't stop. Yeah, sometimes you may sit down like Arjuna on the chariot and think, okay, Krishna, what do you have me here for? I want to be an instrument. Nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. I want to be an instrument. Please engage me. It gives the devotee the opportunity to pray deeply and surrender. That is the Sankirtan movement. That surrender, yes, you surrender when you're washing pots. It is an austerity. But the success in the pot is to clean it. The success on Sankirtan is to try to become that transparent instrument that Krishna will allow the fallen conditioned souls to access his mercy through you. I remember one lady, of course, such stories, everyone has such stories. I was in there, New York City expanded to so many suburbs, just like Vrindavan. When we came to Vrindavan, there was nothing. From the temple to National Highway, there was nothing on either side. There was one tiny church on that side. That's it, boss. All forest, all the way. And now it has expanded like anything. Not necessarily for the better, but it is what it is. So New York City is expanding into places next door, like New Jersey. And they would build big malls. And so the devotees, my temple president, Gopi Janabalaba, he would take us out on Sankirtan. And he would drop us in the middle of nowhere with a couple of boxes of Bhagavad Gita, or Back to Godhead magazine. In those days, our Sankirtan was mostly Back to Godhead magazine. Some pamphlet, Reservoir of Pleasure, like that. And then we had our own personal books, everyone had with him. It was almost like a kit. Every devotee had a pair of kartals, Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, like that. We used to carry in those bags everywhere. They used to show cartoons in the newspapers in New York City of devotees wearing these bags crisscrossed on the subways. Because we were a funny sight to see. Big bags, very heavy. Laddus, very special prasadam developed in New York City. Like this bundi laglu you get in Radha Govinda Mandir. But this is very special with all types of fruits and nuts and things. Very pleasurable. People would run to the devotees and say, do you have any of that? It was actually the first health food bar. Apricots, almonds, raisins, cashews, honey, dates, figs. It was opulent. It was incredibly opulent. Nobody could have prasadam like this. Nobody could understand. Rohini Nandan and Nandu Kumar, Nandi Kishore, they kind of tweaked this recipe and made it very special. And the devotees used to take enough to distribute and enough to eat themselves. So it was also an incentive to go on Sankirtan, because if you went on Sankirtan, you got laglus. Some devotees are very expert. But that's okay. After all, it's Krishna prasadam, Radha Govinda prasadam. But these having these books, and I'm out there, and no one was taking it. We were at a stoplight, red light, Lal Bati. And the car stopped for 2 minutes or less, and you have to approach them, try to get them to roll down their window from their air-conditioned car, and they're approaching you, and we're in street clothes at this time. But they know who we are, because we have shaved heads and, you know, incense and back to Godhead, so everybody knows who's that. And sometimes the incense gets them to roll the window down, because everybody liked our spiritual sky incense, which we made in Brooklyn, in Henry Street. We made everything there. So we made the incense, we distributed it. But sometimes hours would go by. And you know, you're only waiting, when will the van come back? When will Gopi come back? When will I get prasadam? You know, we're thinking, this is the neophyte's conditional stage. But we're doing our duty. And then sometimes someone will come up and say, oh, I'm looking, I received from one devotee this pink book. And I'm thinking, pink book. This lady was very enthusiastic, and she's carrying her small child. And this is in, like I said, a suburb. And suburbs, mostly who you're running into are what they call housewives, suburban housewives. And she said, and that was the most amazing book. And I moved and I've misplaced this book. And I said, Nectar of Devotion? I said, you've read Nectar of Devotion? This is just a typical, you know, like I said, housewife. And she said, it was wonderful. I got so much insight into, you know, my own philosophy, my own religion. And I said, I wasn't distributing. And then I thought, well, I have Nectar of Devotion. I have my Nectar of Devotion. So I showed her the book. She says, yes, that's it. Nectar of Devotion is very special. I don't know how it's linked in so many ways like that, but obviously, for devotees, it is our guidebook in every circumstance. That and Nectar of Instruction. We cannot, if we're acting outside of anything that we've read in Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion, we're not in a safe place. So I ended up selling her for a donation. I didn't know what she'd give. I just didn't know. I just said, please take the Nectar of Devotion. Because she was more enthusiastic about wanting it than I was enthusiastic about having it. So I felt she deserves it. She'd already read some of it. Who knows who these people are? Who knows who Krishna is sending? So she took it and she gave me a bill and I stuck it in my pocket. I didn't even look. I didn't want to, you know, we don't look at the bill. You know, it's rude. It's low class. She gave a donation, so I put it in my pocket. When I got back to the temple that night, I opened up all of my change, and you know, mostly we're getting, you know, little change, and you know, a few small bills. This one bill was there, $100 bill. You know, who knew? You know, that what Krishna does in these regards. In those days, that was a big amount for us. You know, of course, we had other guy brothers in the same, well, not in that temple, in Henry Street, but, you know, they would do much larger amounts. But that was a big thing. And then, a couple years later, when I'm coming to Vrindavan, just after Srila Prabhupada left, because we were temple commander, you get the honor of holding down the temple under all circumstances. So everyone went to see Srila Prabhupada, and, you know, we enjoyed the fact that I'm doing my duty. Because Vani or Vapu, this is a little realization. You can't lament this situation. Otherwise it becomes, again, just some sentimental thing. Prabhupada is giving us something which is beyond his physical association. And it was necessary for us to transcend it. That was the final lesson. That was the final lesson. What did Prabhupada say? He said, don't be surprised who leaves. Be surprised who stays. Don't be surprised who leaves. Be surprised who stays. Because he said, many of my disciples will leave after I depart. Many. And everyone will say, oh. Everyone is thinking, I will never leave. I will never. But one by one. for whatever reason, it doesn't matter. So then we got to come, and we were in Barshana, and we were walking between New Barshana and Old Barshana. You know, they have those nice hills and valleys, beautiful. In those days, it was, again, completely unspoiled. Nothing between the two temples, except some medieval ruin that was there, which I remember we passed by it, and then on the top of another, we decided we would chant Gayatri. So we were chanting Gayatri, myself and a few of our, we were all brahmacharis in those days. And I saw one Baba, he saw us, and he's looking at us, and looking, just looking and looking, and, you know, like we were, you know, some, I don't know, you can't tell, we don't know, but like we were spacemen, somebody from a different planet. So we finished chanting Gayatri, and we, you know, we're getting ready to get up and leave, and he came to us, and he said, are you devotees of Krishna? You know, even though this is Braj, I mean, we've had the temple here for a couple of years. He said, yes. I said, we're staying. We have a temple here in Ramanreti, Krishna Balaram Mandir. And he said, I never knew that there were foreign devotees of Krishna. And he was not an old man. He was in his 30s. We were a little younger, but he was in his 30s. And in perfect English, he explained to us that he was just chasing the dollar or the rupee in New Delhi. He was a professional. And he was just not getting any happiness. And he read this book, he told us. He read this book. And I think he just found the book. And what was that book? Nectar of Devotion. And he invited us to come back to his room and take prasadam. And we thought, okay, he's inviting us. You know, he'll have some little thing. Little tiny bhajan kutir, the room at the top of a ruin. It had a covered roof, but everything else is open. And you know how in the old temples they have these cutouts, these niche, where somebody times they put something, whether it's murti or some picture. So he had there, up on this shelf, the pink paperback Nectar of Devotion that he was worshipping. He had never met Prabhupada, he had never met any devotees. But from this, he had left everything in Delhi and gone to Barshana, based on what he had read in Nectar of Devotion, and surrendered. This is the power of these books. This is the real power. And it is, if we don't have faith, if we're not reading these books on a regular basis, if we're not speaking about them, and if we're not distributing them, then yes, then people who say that this movement is fading, they'll be correct. So, somehow or other, we have to have this unity. I am not this body. Prabhupada called skin disease. Sometimes people are addressing, oh, this person is such and such devotee. But what does that mean, that this person is from this country or this person is from that country? How can a devotee even say like that? What is his consciousness? We see everyone as a servant of Krishna, at least from our neophyte perspective. Of course, the Mahabhagavat, he sees everyone except himself as a servant. So that is how we know we're not Mahabhagavats, because we're thinking only I'm servant and everyone else is not servant. So what is the opposite of Mahabhagavat? So that is what I am. There's always two sides to this philosophy. So we have to be very careful to stick very closely. So when I was thinking, you know, and this is, hopefully it's not mundane and it doesn't appear as such. And when Srila Prabhupada was leaving his body and we were in New York's temple, we weren't thinking that we're doing this and this is some sacrifice. It was the same service we were always doing. But there was some sorrow, obviously. As a matter of fact, you couldn't, for days, devotees could not stop weeping openly. It was such an emotional time. But then the opportunity to come to Vrindavan manifest, and we got to pay our respects and then travel everywhere and meet so many nice devotees. And then many years later, I got the opportunity to come back and serve Srila Prabhupada again and to be one of the servants in the construction there. And that was very special. Everyone should feel satisfied with whatever service he has. You know, because all these services are special. So we should all think that our service is special. Because Krishna will see how you treat that service. And then he will put you in a position where if you are that sincere, you will never, ever feel any disturbance, any lamentation, or any hankering. You will become fixed. This is the whole, thrust, is to get to that position, secure at the lotus feet of our spiritual master in Krishna, where I don't want anything else. And I am happy to serve. I am grateful to serve. And that, in this way, Krishna will, he sees. What did Prabhupada used to tell us? That was a famous story. First deserve, then desire. But everyone must have heard that. Huh? Yes? First deserve, then desire. Many years ago, there was some aberration. Some devotees were taking up something called Gopi Bhava Club. Everyone must have heard, no? You read in Harisari's diary. So what happened, some devotees complained to Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, this group has become like a clique. And they're reading only Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they're only discussing this pastimes of Srimati Radharani in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Prabhupada called them all in together and says, what is this? And these are Prabhupada's very sincere devotees, the whole Sanskrit department of the BBT. You know, so we know who those devotees are. All sincere devotees. But somehow or other, and they were trying to argue with Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, this is all in your books. And Prabhupada just said, nonsense. He says, in the pharmacy, all the medicine is there. Do you just take anything off the shelf and take it? He said, no, you cannot do that. It has to be taken under the guidance of an expert physician. And then he shouted, first deserve, then desire. So everything is there. But you cannot take it just by yourself, thinking, oh yes, it is on the shelf, let me grab it. Because some of these things will act like poison, depending on your level of advancement. You see on the medical bottles, it says, not suitable for children under 2 years of age. You know, the same medicine an adult can take safely. No problem. But if you give it to a child 2 years age or under, it is poison, like death. So one has to know the proper application. And he has to have faith that Srila Prabhupada will reveal these things in due time. These things are just for your, you know, to hear, that you can also take precautions. Prabhupada, one of those Sanskrit editors, he eventually left in a very dramatic way. He went to Srila Prabhupada and said, please bless me, I want to find another guru. I want to seek another guru. He went to Prabhupada and said, please bless me, I want to seek another guru. There's no bhajan here. Who can imagine? One of Prabhupada's primary Sanskrit editors. And of course, Prabhupada said, he joked later, he told Guru Kripa, a friend of mine, he said, Prabhupada said, I blessed him to go to hell. So you can also get these blessings if you leave the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. He's not saying these things in some malicious, mean-spirited manner. He's just telling the truth. That if you leave, what does shelter mean? Shelter means you're protected from whatever, the elements, the sun, the wind, the rain. This is shelter. So if you leave this shelter, you're on your own. And what happens? If someone leaves, the material world is the most dangerous place. So to step outside the shelter of Krishna consciousness, and specifically ISKCON, means you have to go into the hurricane of the material world. If someone is foolish enough to walk outside of a safe place into a hurricane, he must be a fool. Everyone's heard of typhoon or cyclone. It can pick you up like Trinavarta and spin you in the air and throw you 100 miles. You'll come down, what? Dead. So don't go into the tufan of the material world. Stay in the shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His dearmost servant, Srila Prabhupada. And then, as Srila Prabhupada says, your life will be perfect. Why does he say that? After every lecture. Because sometimes, somehow or other, we don't hear with our heart. And that is because the heart is not quite clean yet. But anyway, Prabhupada said, clean the pots, clean your heart. Nobody should be afraid to clean Krishna's pots or do any menial service. Don't think that now I'm second initiate. I can only do pujari work. I can only do this. I can only do that. No, this is a very bad mentality. It does not lead to perfection, but destruction. So it's getting late. I see people looking at their watches. When will this Prabhu finish? So are there any questions or comments or corrections? Yes, my dear temple president. Please forgive me for my offenses. Well, now it's something that is an issue. Of course, when we joined, there were only Srila Prabhupada's books. I remember one time someone had Jiva Dharma. And, you know, it was from this, because we were in New York, was where we had the press, the BBT. So such books were available. But it was a standing rule that no one could read anything until he finished all of Prabhupada's books. Which at that time was a little bit easier because it was only up to second canto Srimad Bhagavatam and first and Adi Lila volume 1 was just, we were only reading it in chapters. We used to print them like small pamphlets, like Lord Chaitanya in 5 features. You know. So it was not so hard, but still people were trying to seek out other things. But yes, I have never, I remember the first time reading teachings of Lord Chaitanya and being so, how can you say, just ecstatic by reading the Prabhupada's ecstasy in written form. Because this is nothing, you know, Prabhupada has always, everyone knows, Prabhupada said, these purports are my ecstasy, his bhava. And the teachings of Lord Chaitanya is Srila Prabhupada's unique contribution to the Gaudiya pantheon of literature. And in it, he has, because he never knew whether he would live, just like Krishna book. It is condensed ecstasy. And teachings of Lord Chaitanya is condensed knowledge. And if anyone was just, and that's all we had in those days, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Krishna book, Bhagavad Gita, Sri Ishvapanishad, Nectar of Devotion. These things were so special for us, so special. And we could read them, and we did read them multiple times. I mean, it wasn't uncommon for devotees to be reading this Nectar of Devotion 5-10 times, teachings of Lord Chaitanya 5-10 times or more. This is what we did. You know? So, what is the mentality for wanting to read something else? That should be the question. To get more knowledge, or what, a different perspective? Is it necessary? You know, someone thinking that maybe someone will explain it a little better than Srila Prabhupada? I mean, it's a very touchy issue here. And when one reads these things, only Brahma Samhita was authorized, actually, at that time by Srila Prabhupada. That was the one, because, and we didn't publish it, so we would get copies that devotees would bring back from India. I actually had original copy, 1936, published, because they weren't publishing for years. And then I had the paperback, which I had later hardbound. And that was authorized. But it was, you know, above our heads. We could read it, and we would appreciate Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and his erudite scholarship. But teachings of Lord Chaitanya, for me, was my favorite literature. Because I truly, at that point, at least I began to think, now I can understand somewhat, you know, the transcendental, because after all, that is the purpose, janma karma chame divyam. We're trying to understand the transcendental nature, you know, of Lord Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. And so there was a glimpse, and that kept us enthusiastic. And I can honestly say, you know, that everything I've heard about other scriptures, I've heard from quotes by Srila Prabhupada, mostly, and his references, because everything is referred to there. So I don't really need, when he is quoting this verse, that means he has extracted the essence for me. Why do I need to go and rummage through all these other books in order to find what he has already given? That's my small opinion in this regard. But this is, you know, we're eager at some point, and someday I may be advanced enough to read this other Goswami literature. But Nectar of Instruction and Nectar of Devotion are the only, for me now, are sufficient. But like I said, I'm a small person. Others who are more advanced and who are not, you know, have no separate mind, but, you know, and it's not an artificial thing, and I don't say this to make it sound, to elaborate, but I feel very keenly my relationship with Srila Prabhupada as his disciple. And there is a sense of chastity involved in that relationship. You know, it's no different than him being my father. Someone may say something else. And I never want to displease him or embarrass him. And therefore, one's behavior should reflect that attitude. It shouldn't be that you say one thing and do another. So I don't want to pick up someone else's book when I feel that I have enough and that I want to remain chaste in this regard. And if that is a neophyte mentality, then so be it. Let me remain as a neophyte in this regard. And let me serve Prabhupada to the best of my ability. Any other questions or comments? Yes. You have to, yeah, someone will pass it.
Hare Krishna. Hare Paul. Regarding to this sloka, there are two pillars in this sloka, that specification in terms of nationalism, one, and in terms of individuality.
I understand your point. It's with regards to that individuality, nationality, distinction. But these things do not exist at the level of the spirit. It is not that the spirit is homogeneous, all one. That is another Mayavad conception. But each part and parcel, Jivar Sarupoi Nitya Krishna Das. So it doesn't matter what country he's born in. As a matter of fact, Prabhupada quoted in the Bhagavad Gita, Saiva Gokara, means that if one is thinking that I am the product of this nation, then I am no better than an ass or a cow. Because there are so many Indian cows, so many Indian mudhas, like this, Western country is the same. Everyone's thinking, I'm Western, I'm Indian. So that's not unity. And many people take it one material level and they say, everyone bleeds red. See, regardless of the body and the nationality, everybody bleeds red. So even at that level, there's some underlying similarity. And the similarity typically outweighs the individuality. The individual I has a purpose only so much as I'm an individual servant of Krishna, and how I serve Krishna, he is giving us these different relationships. That is in the Nectar of Devotion. And if you read it, you will see. That is how individuality is expressed. And of course, we can take that the Bhagavad Gita is being spoken in India, in Kurukshetra. And it would appear that, therefore, it has a limited audience. But Krishna is speaking to the spirit soul. And so, therefore, it was not a coincidence that at that time and circumstance it was spoken. But it has nothing to do with the location. It has nothing to do with even the fact that these people took birth in a particular time and place. It has to do with the Pritranaya Sadhana Binashaya Chadushkitam. Why is Krishna coming? So his purpose has nothing to do with whether one is from this country or that country, from this caste or that caste. He's only here to liberate the conditioned soul from all these. Again, that is the instruction in Nectar of Devotion. Sarva Upadhi Vinir Muktam, Tat Paratvaina Nilam. One has to give Sarva Upadhi Vinir Muktam. He has to give up these false designations. They're false. They're temporary. You're only Indian in this life. How long will that last? You don't know what you were last life. You don't know what you'll be next life. Narad Muni and Angira are saying the same thing. That this boy, when they revive the child, which you'll read further, and the king addresses, "Oh, my dear son," the child says, "Who are you? Which father are you? I've had many fathers in many species of life, not just in any human species. Who are you? Which father are you?" So this is the spirit soul in his evolution. So now I'm in an Indian body. Next life I'll be in the body of who knows. No guarantee. Except if you take to this path, then there is a guarantee. Janma karma chame divyam evam yobeti tatvada tatvadayam puna janma nayeti mamiti sarjana. Then you will go back to Krishna. If you know the transcendental nature of his appearance and disappearance, it has nothing to do with nationalism. That's why they're so emphasizing this, that we have to become free from these designations. Otherwise, there's no cooperation. This movement is a movement of cooperation based on a transcendental realization. I am not this body. And so if someone wants to come, yes, I can be a Kshatriya. And I can be a Kshatriya and I can serve in this particular land and do my duty. We have many devotees who are in the military. And they do their duty to defend the interests of the country that is hosting. Just like Prabhupada told us, you must observe the laws of the host country. So if someone is a devotee in America, now he can claim conscientious objection. I don't want to fight. And at least in America, they give exemption. You don't have to go military service. We've had many devotees go in military service and be Krishna conscious on that level. But that is not easy. That is not an easy thing. And what is he fighting for? Yes, he's fighting to protect the rights for us to worship Krishna. Prabhupada came to America. Why? Why didn't this movement take off in India? No one was listening. No one was listening. Whole country was asleep at that time. Due to one thing was nationalism. The same thing that Srila Prabhupada spoke to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta when he first met him, 1918. What did he say? How can we do this work of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when we are a country under the British rule? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, this has nothing to do with any mundane politics. Nothing to do with mundane politics. So your question, Prabhupada had the same question. But he understood that this person was the correct messenger for Mahaprabhu's movement. Because here was someone who saw things from the big picture. Because nowadays, you see, if you look at the news, someone is seeing things from the American point of view, the Indian point of view, the Russian point of view, the Chinese point of view. There's no harmony. There's only harmony in Krishna consciousness. And when everyone is Krishna conscious, then there will be peace. That is the peace symptom. That is the peace Prabhupada said. That peace formula. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma na Sochiti na Kangshiti. Cannot have it as long as you hold tight to these things. You know, they can only give us some temporary situation. Like that. Everyone has to die. I have to die. But if I die chanting the holy name, serving Krishna, then I hope that I will take birth wherever Srila Prabhupada is and serve him there in that capacity again. Because that's how we pray every day. Janme, janme, Prabhu said. We don't ask, please give me liberation, please give me mukti. We say, please allow me to take birth and serve you again and again. So that should be our constant meditation. But if you want to join the service and take nationalism to that step, please do it to protect the devotees. And then there'll be some benefit. Any other questions, comments? See, the temple president is giving me a nasty look. And people are getting hungry. Where's prasadam? Where's prasadam? Just like when we were on Sankirtan. Where's prasadam? Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.